thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I think if we had a show of hands this morning to see how many of us are absolutely fed up, maybe if I just stop there, fed up of all the necessary restrictions that this virus has brought to our daily lives, I think every hand in this place would be raised, probably two hands for most of us. As I've been speaking to people over the past few weeks in particular, it's really evident that most of us are pretty weary of it all. It's a feeling that is shared by people all over the world at this time, and there seems to be no end in sight. We're weary of all the sad and depressing statistics we hear every day. We're weary of the infighting and point scoring among our politicians, who are supposed to be trying to run the country. We're weary of not being able to mix freely with our family, our friends, our neighbours. We're weary of the restrictions in our churches, in our schools, in our workplaces. We're weary of the lack of activities. The list could go on. But I think it's fair assessment to say people are experiencing an exceptional degree of weariness at this present time. And that's what I've been thinking about over this past week. I've been feeling weary. So this is coming out of my own experience as well. And I've been looking to see, what is God saying to us? What is God saying to us as a people, as a church, in his word at this time when so many of us are feeling weary? So this morning, I'm going to point us to four specific scriptures that address the issue of weariness and that will give us encouragement and hope at this time. Firstly, this morning, and Graham read this scripture this morning to us already, he gives strength to the weary in Isaiah 40, verses 30 to 31. Says, even youths, young people, grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. He gives strength to the weary. I encourage you to take some time this afternoon to read through Isaiah 40. It is one of those wonderful chapters in the Bible that acts as a reminder to lift our eyes. Lift our eyes above all the chaos and the clamour of this world, the boasting, the idolatry. Set our eyes firmly on the Lord of glory. It's like God is saying, stop. Stop for a moment. Have a look around you. Look at humanity. Whether it is the boasting of the rich and the powerful, whether it is the efforts of the poor, what in the end is humanity like, really like? In the end of the day, Isaiah 40 tells us, in the end of the day, humanity, all humanity, are like the flowers of the field. They might be tall and majestic flowers. They might be small and humble flowers. They're here today, shining in their glory. Tomorrow, they're withered and they're dead. God tells us that is humanity. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, all humanity comes to the same end, the fate of every human being. Here today, gone tomorrow, and his place remembers it no more. But then look at God's word. It stands and endures forever. It cannot be shaken. Look at the things people worship. Isaiah tells us, often man-made objects that are obviously lesser than the minds that created them. And then look around at creation in its vastness, in its glory, in its order, and ask yourself, who created all this by his mighty power and strength? Look at the rulers of the world and ask yourself, who sets them on their thrones or in their positions of power one day and topples them from power in the next? And we've seen that in the past week. They're only temporary. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow, and their place remembers them no more. But what about the Lord God Almighty? He lives forever, and his reign continues through all generations. The key in this whole passage is found in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. This is a chapter about looking and listening, looking and hearing. What are you? Now, I'm not preaching at you, like pointing the finger at you this morning. When I say you, I mean me too, because I've been very weary, okay? So this is a chapter about looking and hearing. What are you looking at? Who are you listening to? If you're only looking around, you will be weary. If you're only listening to the voices of this world at this time, you will definitely be weary. The present health crisis is wearying. There's no doubt about it. It feels like there's no end in sight. But even apart from this virus, there's so much else in this world that's wearying. As Christians, do we not get fed up and weary of the sin that we see around us? Do we not get fed up and weary of the darkness, the sorrows, even the trials in our own lives? God is saying to us this morning, in it all, let us not forget that he is the everlasting God. He is the one with all wisdom and understanding. His word and his purposes are eternal. And so in our weariness, let us come again and look to him. Let us put our hope in him again and remind ourselves of who he is, and that those who hope in him will never be put to shame, because we understand the eternal nature of life. We see beyond the here and now. We're not stuck in 2020 like every day being Groundhog Day. No, we're not stuck here. We see beyond it. We see the eternal purpose. We see God at work, outworking his eternal purpose even right now. The people of God that Isaiah was writing to here in chapter 40, they were having a difficult time believing in the eternal purpose of God, because they were in a place of intense suffering, imminent defeat. They were just about to be taken into exile. But even in their dark place, they were being reminded of the purpose of God in it all. The truth is, most of us find it hard to see God's big picture. We're in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the storm. But nothing happens to God's people that is outside of God's control. What a truth that is. Nothing. We may not understand what's happening, but at the time, even in their darkest hours, God was speaking to his rebellious people about a coming Savior. That's amazing. It was their darkest hour. Isaiah was prophesying about the exile that was to come, that they were going to be defeated and carried away from their own land. But in this midst of the darkness, The prophecy came out. A Savior's coming. A Redeemer is coming. God's eternal redemptive purposes are being worked out in the mess of human rebellion, in the mess of sin, in the mess of human politics, in the mess of war, in the mess of defeat. Those people of God, they had to live through all of these experiences and hold on in faith to the word of God that he would deliver them. They had to hold on to the promise of a coming Savior, the word of hope. Now, we are living in different times. The promised Savior has come. We are saved. We are the people of God, not now just in one specific nation spanning the whole globe. But like the people of Isaiah's day, we still must live by faith in the promise of God. We are still living in this mess of sin and rebellion all around us. We are definitely living in the mess of human politics with all its intrigue. We're living in the mess of a pandemic that's causing a health crisis, an economic crisis, but God still speaks and reminds us there is hope. His eternal plan of redemption still holds true. Our Savior, the Savior that in Isaiah's day they were looking forward to his coming. He has come. He has gone back to heaven. We are looking forward. We are looking forward to his return in glory. We are looking forward to the day when he will come and rule and reign in righteousness, when he will create a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, and we shall reign with him. Friends, this world, yep, it's upside down. It's upside down. It seems sometimes like it's falling apart. Nations are in uproar. It's happening. It's happening at the time, at this time. But the Lord is still on his throne. And we as his people have hope. He is working even right now in the midst of everything to bring his redemptive purposes to their consummation. Praise his name. So this morning, trust in him and he will renew your strength. Then secondly, he refreshes the weary. Jeremiah 31 verse 25. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Like Isaiah, Jeremiah was another prophet who often had to speak words that people of God didn't want to hear. He warned them, again, prophesying similar times. He warned them again, time and time again, the disaster's coming for your sins. You're going to be defeated. You're going to be taken into exile. But even Jeremiah, this weeping prophet, brought words of hope to the people in the midst of pain and suffering because God had shown him, no matter how dark it is, there is hope. God will bring, the people of God will be taken into exile, but God will bring the faithful remnant back into the land, and he will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. The exile was going to be 70 years. Like, we're not talking about a 2020 or something. It was going to be 70 years. It's a long time, a long, hard struggle. And you know the truth? Many of the people of God who were exiled just got absorbed into the lifestyle and the culture of the nations they were exiled to. But God's word, I tell you, God's word stands forever. There was a faithful remnant. There was a remnant that God preserved for himself. There were those who held on in hope, believing that in God's own way and in God's own timing, he would bring them back to the land. It would be restored and renewed. Really interesting in this passage in Isaiah, or not in Isaiah, in Jeremiah 31, when he's speaking here, he also talks and prophesies about the new covenant. The new covenant that someday in the future, God is going to make with his people. Friends, we're in that new covenant. We are the people of the new covenant because it was made by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't this what we say every Sunday as we come around the table? The blood of the new covenant. We who were exiled, we who were foreigners have been brought near, brought in to by the blood of Jesus Christ. And friends, as the new covenant people of God, we are living now as foreigners in a foreign land. This world is not our home. We're looking for the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. That's what we're looking for. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is the Lord. And now in this world, we're pilgrims. Friends, as a new covenant people, let us not become absorbed into the culture and the lifestyle of this land that we live in, but let us hold on in faith for the coming, the glorious coming of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us hold on in hope. But as we wait, it's not always easy because sometimes we get a bit weary. The Apostle Paul, he understood maybe more than most how wearying this waiting could be. He was tireless in his work of spreading the gospel. He traveled thousands of miles over land and sea, spreading the gospel by travel, spreading the gospel even from his prison cell. He experienced so much suffering. He said at times he despaired even of his life. Paul was a man. He was an incredible man. He was still just a man, like us. He needed to be refreshed in body, in mind, in spirit. And you know what? God brought different people alongside him at different points in his life to refresh him in his weariness. 2 Timothy 1:16, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 17 to 18, I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. It is impossible for anybody, any Christian, not to have periods of weariness. We're human. We are vulnerable. Everybody, no matter how strong you are, we are vulnerable to discouragement and weariness. Maybe through constant suffering, physical, emotional, spiritual. Maybe weary because of the spiritual battles that we're fighting. Maybe wearying because you're in a situation that drags on and on and on. You can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. In these times in our lives, we need people to notice us, to come alongside us and to refresh our spirit. The Apostle Paul, some of the saddest things he writes are that he's been deserted by everybody. Many occasions he was deserted. But he had cause to mention a few people here who were willing to come alongside him in his darkest hours and offer refreshing to a weary man. Sometimes it was just practical help. At other times, it was words of encouragement, but people came alongside. And it's noticeable that in the verse in Timothy, as Paul is in prison and he's been deserted by almost everybody, he's focused not just on his present situation, in prison, suffering, hard, but he's focused on the day of the Lord that is to come. 2 Timothy 1:12. That is why I'm suffering as I am for the gospel's sake. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. That's called a Christian living in the midst of darkness, depressive situation, but holding on to hope and faith. Do you see a pattern being established this morning? Jesus said, in this world there will be suffering, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In your life, there will be troubling. There will be suffering. There will be events that will rock your personal life to the core. There are events at the moment that are rocking our whole world. We are to fix our eyes on the promise of what is yet to come, because he will see us safely through. He will guard what we have committed to him until that day. Until that day, folks, he uses other people to draw alongside us, to refresh us in our weariness. Allow them in. I'm not saying physically into your house at the minute, because you'd be breaking the rules. Allow them into your life. Don't pretend you're somebody that doesn't need encouragement and refreshing. Don't pretend. Honestly, everybody, the Apostle Paul did. We all do. Jesus did. We're all in the same boat, every one of us. We all experience times of weariness in body and mind and spirit. And this is what the body of Christ, the church, is supposed to do. I'll tell you something. I know people, I'm not talking about this church, but I know people who say, not even talking about this present situation is a bit different, but I just go in and out of the church. I don't get involved. I don't chat to anybody. Just don't get involved. That is not being part of the body of Christ. I can tell you that. A body connects. A body listens. A body speaks. A body encourages. A body builds up. That's what the body of Christ does. Let people into your life. Let people speak and encourage and help you. And if you are at that place at the moment where you're not weary, where you're one of the few, look out for others. Notice others who look a bit down, who you know are struggling with heavy burdens or sickness or family troubles or whatever it may be. And you be the person to come alongside. These people, Paul says, they're worthy of recognition. They come alongside and offer that encouragement. Thirdly, this morning, he sustains the weary. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. He sustains the weary. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. I think it's really interesting that each of the passages we've read this morning from Isaiah and Jeremiah regarding strength to the weary, refreshing to the weary, and here, sustaining the weary, are all messianic passages. They speak about the coming and ministry of Jesus Christ. They're all passages of hope in the midst of darkness. That's why Jesus came. He was the one who suffered more than any person, And he is the one who gives hope to those who trust in him. But here, Isaiah pictures the servant. This is Jesus. I think this is so amazing. He pictures the servant as one who is in active service for the weary. He is listening. This is Jesus. This is about Jesus. He is listening to the voice of God morning by morning, being instructed by God to bring the appropriate word to sustain the weary. Now, I have to say, that has really blessed me, because this is something I've never seen before in, well, I've been looking at that this week. It's an unusual picture of Jesus. Jesus, like a scholar, one devoted to the word of God, morning by morning, being taught the ways of God so that he could bring the right word to the right person to sustain them in their moment of weariness. Jesus gave himself fully to this ministry, helping people to see and understand the way of grace. This is a word. The way of grace is the word that sustains the weary. Jesus wants to waken us morning by morning and hear the word that sustains the weary for ourselves and for others. One of the commentators I read pointed out, it's easy to have a condemning ministry. And honestly, sometimes I think some itinerant preachers I've heard, I just think, boy, they've got it easy. The condemning ministry, go to a church and just say everything that's wrong with the church. You don't actually need to have a global ministry to do that. We can all do that. We all can see quite clearly what's wrong with the church. Point the finger, list the failures, say what's wrong. But the ministry of Jesus, do you know what his ministry is? Listen, morning by morning, what's the word to sustain the weary? That's the ministry I want. I don't want to stand up and say, here's 20 things wrong with this church, let's get them sorted. And here's 30 things wrong with the church next door and 40 in the one down in whatever street. No. That's not the way. Give me an instructed tongue. The word of grace that sustains the weary. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this is the ministry that ought to be ours. I discovered something about my hearing last week. Been listening to a Bible study course, not wanting to disturb anybody else. Plug wee speakers, you know, wee ear pods into my iPad. And these really old speakers, there's only one of the wee ear things work. So I put the in my left ear, and I was listening, and then after a wee while, I thought, that thing's really, I don't actually like things in my ears. I thought, that thing's getting on my nerves. In my left ear, I'll put it into my right ear. So I took it out, put it in my right ear. I'm definitely not hearing so much out of my right ear. So I thought, right, try that again, put it in my left ear. Yeah, hear loud and clear, put it in my left ear. Boy, I need to turn it up a bit. I thought, I am going to become like my mother. Stand over here, this is my good side. Oh dear, hope she doesn't hear that. She probably will, she always listens later. But it made me think about my spiritual hearing. Are you tuned in? Are you tuned in to hear the word that sustains the weary? Jesus has an instructed tongue. He is listening morning by morning to give you the word that will sustain you in your weariness. Are you listening to have an instructed tongue to hear the word that can sustain others in their weariness? And then finally this morning, he gives rest to the weary. You probably know what passage I'm going to read now. Matthew 11:28, Jesus speaking. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you a whole lot more burdens. I'll give you the word of judgment. I'll give you the guilt trip. I'll give you the word of everything heavy on you. No, no, no. He didn't say it. He said, come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Rest to the weary. Jesus spoke these words after showing how people compared his ministry to the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, Jesus said, he came neither eating nor drinking. So people lived a very austere lifestyle. People said, he's got a demon. Jesus came eating and drinking and mixing with tax collectors and sinners, and they called him a glutton and a drunkard. Jesus said he was denouncing the cities. Many miracles had been done in them. People were stubbornly refusing to believe. Many people were looking at what God was doing, but they weren't able to understand it. Their stubborn hearts remained closed to the purposes of God in their generation. That is still true. Stubborn hearts remaining closed to the work of God in our generation. But Jesus thanked God that in his good pleasure, he had revealed it to those who had childlike faith. Basically, people who heard it, listened, and believed. And to those he said, come to me, all of you people who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So whether you are weary of the burden of sin or the burdens of this life, come to Jesus today. Partner with Jesus. That's what taking the yoke's all about. Learn from his life, his example, his experience, what it is to find rest in this earthly life. Jesus didn't shout those words down from heaven, from the glories. Jesus was not removed from life on this earth. He lived it just like we do. Jesus lived in politically very turbulent times. There was lots of uprisings and stuff going on. He lived in the midst of poverty, suffering, danger. He lived in a world as upside down as it is in our day. And he still called the weary and the burdened to him. And he promised them, I will give you rest. Jesus isn't removed from this world. He knows, he sees, he understands what is going on in every country of this world. There's not a square inch of this world at this point that is escaping his gaze. He sees it all. He sees the people living in the midst of brokenness, living in the midst of suffering. And today, which is a day of prayer for the persecuted believers, he sees every persecuted believer today meeting in secret or in a prison cell or people who are broken in their lives. And he calls to each and everyone and says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. As I conclude today, I want to just ask you this question. What is wearying you today? And on Zoom, it may be the virus and how that's affecting all of us. It may be sorrow, grief through bereavement. It may be an unhappy marriage. It may be trouble in your family. It may be financial stress. It may be chronic illness that just drags on. It may be stress at work. It could be a multitude of things. Do you know what's wearying? When you just can't see an end in sight. That's what's wearying. Friends, this is sometimes our experience in life. And there's no magic wand. And none of us can escape the wearying effect of these situations, we need to listen, believe, and respond to what Jesus says when he says, if you're weary and burdened by any of these, all of these, come to me. Actually, come to me. I will give you rest. What a promise. He gives strength to the weary. He refreshes the weary. He sustains the weary. He gives rest to the weary. What a God we have. Let's pray. Father, we are in an unusual situation because sometimes some people are really going through a very big trial and maybe somebody else is absolutely on top of the world. But Lord, we know that in this season, most of us, probably all of us, are experiencing an exceptional degree of weariness, just with everything that's going on and the effects that it's having in our lives. Lord, I thank you today that we are not kind of drowning in all of that. We're not left to drown in it all, because you are the everlasting God. Hallelujah. You are the everlasting God who never grows tired or weary. Thank you that even at this time, you are working out your eternal redemptive purposes in our world. Lord, I thank you that we have hope in Christ. Thank you that we are holding on in faith. And so I pray this morning for every one of us gathered here on Zoom and in every other fellowship in Ballymoney here this morning, we pray. And throughout the nation and the world, and particularly for our persecuted brothers and sisters, many of whom will be in intense weariness, Lord, and struggling and maybe almost feeling like giving up. But oh God, we pray this morning that we, like them, will listen, believe, and respond, and we will come to you and be refreshed and renewed and sustained and find rest for our souls. Oh Lord, in you there is hope, and we praise your holy name. Bless your people today, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.